55. Now that's an illustrious notch on anyone's sci-fi CV, that. And actually, funnily enough, in Quatermass 2, he is shot by guards. Guards, which returns next week when Vimes tracks the dragon and the librarian travels in time.
This is The Seventh Dimension on BBC Radio 4 Extra.
And now Peter is unconscious and in a trance, and only psychic Bridget can get him out of it as we continue our thriller about a form of radar that can detect sentient life. Martin Jarvis stars in The 12 Maidens.
The 12 Maidens, a serial for radio in 6 parts by Stuart Farrer. Part 5, The Challenge. Peter Brent and Margaret Govan are working on Biodar, a new form of radar which can pick up sentient life. When they realize that black magic is being worked against the project, their colleague, Dr. Carl Ewing, calls in the help of 2 white witch friends, Donald Williams and his sister Bridget. Dr. Ewing and Sergeant George Blake find Peter unconscious after he's watched the Black Coven at work, while the sergeant's men raid the Black Coven's meeting place and report by radio.
He'll do. Nothing physical as far as I can see, but we'd better get him indoors.
Dog to Abel, are you receiving me? Over.
Abel to dog, loud and clear, over.
Dog to Abel, we're up at the top of Maiden Tor, Sarge, but there's nobody here, over.
Abel to dog, anything else, over.
Dog to Abel, yes, Sarge, there is. A flaming cockerel with his throat cut on that big stone in the middle. It's still warm, so it can't have been dead long. There's blood all over the place. What do we do now? Over.
Able to dog, have a thorough look round and make sure there's nothing else. Then bring that cockerel and anything else you find and wait for me on the road at the bottom of Maiden Tor. Over.
Dr. Abel, Wilco, over and out.
Now then, let's get Peter down this damn hill.
How is he, Dr. Ewing?
Still unconscious. A sort of hypnotic trance, it seems to be. His pulse and breathing are regular, though a bit shallow.
We can't take him back to Bewley Towers like that in 1 in the morning. Everyone knows Peter's got a head like concrete, so it'll be no good pretending he was drunk. There'll be too many questions, and we don't want those security bars poking their noses in.
Well, we'd better take him to Donald and Bridget's. And Margaret's there, anyway.
Right. Ah, good. There's Lance Corporal Davis. Hello, Corporal. Did you find anything else?
Not a thing, Sarge. There's quite an area up there in that big ring of stones.
Yeah.
I wouldn't swear something small mightn't have got missed. Well, we had the moonlight and a torch, but...
Never mind. Is that the cockerel?
Yeah. Poor little devil. Nasty miss. Who'd want to do a thing like that? There's cleaner ways of killing a bird if you've got to.
Yeah.
What's it all about, Sarge? Who did you expect us to find up there?
I don't know. Listen, Bob. I want you and the lads to keep your mouths shut about this. Dr. Ewing and I are doing a little private investigation. But it is private. So if anyone asks what you 4 were doing out in the Land Rover at night, I sent you out because we wanted to track you on the move with Biodar. Some trouble with the automatic tracking, and that's all you know, right?
Sure, Sarge. We'll stick to that, don't worry.
And I'll take that cockerel. You've never seen it, right?
Seen it, Sarge? I wouldn't know a cockerel if I saw one.
Good lad. Now pack it in and go on home. Thank the lads for me and tell them I owe them all a pint next time I see him in the White Hart.
Okay, Sarge. Good night.
Night, Corporal. They won't talk.
Oh, that's leadership for you.
Thanks. Look at this, Doctor.
Nasty. I hope that isn't your best uniform.
It isn't. You know what, though? I'm ruddy well relieved it's only a cockerel. The way Peter was yammering on his walkie-talkie before he passed out, I was afraid it was a girl, whoever she was.
The thought had crossed my mind, too.
Put him on the sofa. Donald, would you get a blanket?
Right you are, Bridget.
Oh, Peter. Oh, I knew something was wrong.
What happened?
Well, he gave us a sort of run-in commentary on the walkie-talkie. Apparently there were about a dozen of them up there, with a man and a woman in charge. The two of them did some kind of ritual while the rest circled round him. He couldn't hear what they were chanting, of course, but he said he recognized those two at least, though he never got round to saying who they were. Then the woman laid herself on the altar, and someone handed the man a knife. And Peter shouted there was blood all over and passed out.
No. Well, they wouldn't do that, would they? Not even then.
Oh, don't worry. It was a cockerel. Oh. We've got it out in the car. I had a lance corporal and three men standing by in the Land Rover in case of trouble. And while Dr. Ewan and I shinned up Little Tor to find Peter, they went up Maiden Tor. They didn't know what it was all about. I just told them to bring down anyone or anything they found. And all they found was a cockerel, still warm with its throat cut. Pretty savagely cut at that.
All right. Here's the blanket.
Oh, fine. Well, you tuck him up, Margaret, will you?
Right.
Those lads of yours, George, will they talk?
Not them.
Good. Keep this war private.
Now then, young Peter. What's your diagnosis, Carl, as a doctor?
Well, no physical damage. Looks rather like a hypnotic trance, but I don't see how it could be. He was a quarter of a mile away from them, watching through binoculars.
Not exactly hypnosis, no, but something very like it. They must have raised a hell of a lot of power, and the blood would climax it. Now, would you stand back, everybody?
Oh, can you counter it?
Why not? What's she doing?
Banishing their power and pouring in hers. Watch. Oh.
All right. All right, Peter. It's all right now. Wake up gently now. It's all right.
How did I get here?
Carl and George brought you. Now, easy, easy. Don't try to sit up.
I was watching those bastards on Maiden Tor.
Yes, we know. George told us all about it.
Did they catch them?
No, Peter. They're all gone.
Susan, too. I thought she was... All that blood.
Susan?
What do you mean, Peter?
The girl on the altar stone. It was Susan Platt.
What? Who is she?
Assistant security officer on the Biodar project.
Are you sure, Peter?
Yes, quite sure. She was facing my way in the moonlight before she laid down on the altar.
Now, the blood, Peter, it wasn't hers. The man slaughtered a cockerel over her.
So that's what they handed him. Couldn't see. Yes, the man, he was Reuben Fairfax.
What? That gentleman farmer type who's often in the White Hart.
Yes, that's the one.
So, now we know.
Well, I'm not surprised about Susan Platt. She used to be in psychical research, and she knew her stuff. And she was ambitious and unscrupulous.
Well, what do we do now, then?
Well, knowing who they are makes it a lot easier to work against them.
In your circle, you mean? Mm-hmm. You and your brother and Margaret?
Of course.
But surely it's past that now. We could go to the police.
And what crime would they charge them with? Killing one cockerel, which was probably this Fairfax man's property anyway.
But surely those wax images...
Well, we may know what they've done and how successful they've been, but can we prove it in court? Witchcraft, white or black, hasn't been a crime since the Witchcraft Act was repealed in 1951. Fraudulent mediumship, yes, threats and menaces, but making wax images or sacrificing cockerels on hilltops, no.
Well, I'm damn sure there's something we could get them on.
Well, you try finding it.
As I said, this is a private war.
Well, I know what I would like.
What's that?
A drink.
Oh, my dear chap, I'm so sorry.
So there's still no answer to this blank sector around Maiden Tor?
I'm afraid not, Phil. It's just as blank as ever. For 300 metres round the summit.
quite extraordinary. And you're satisfied it's not the equipment in any way, Sergeant?
I've checked and double-checked every circuit and every component, Professor. And in any case, I don't see how an equipment fault could produce an effect like that.
Frankly, neither do I. Oh, it must be something to do with Maiden Toy itself. As soon as I've got a moment, I'll organize that magnetic survey. That might show us something.
It might.
Where's Margaret?
Having a look at her animals. A couple of the monkeys are off color.
Bizarre project, this, I sometimes think, which needs a private zoo. Oh, well, I'll let you get on.
There's one thing I didn't tell him.
Oh, what's that?
We did get a break off Maiden Tora last night.
You what?
While that ritual was building up. We got the sort of break a dozen people should have made, but negative. Completely reversed in phase.
Good God. Well, that can't happen.
That's just what I told Dr. Ewing. But it did, and we both saw it. I was in here early this morning, tearing things apart to see if that could have been an equipment fault. I knew it wasn't, of course. But how the hell could I report it to the professor? Please, sir, when they're working black magic on Maiden Tor, we do get a Bardar break, but inside out.
George, I'm getting fed up with this.
Yeah, aren't we all?
I mean, Fairfax and Susan and their lot must be causing this somehow. And a lot of other trouble besides, not to mention losing us a lot of sleep. Well, maybe Bridget and Donald and Margaret can deal with them on their own ground, I don't know.
I have a feeling Bridget knows what she's at.
You're not impartial, George. I've seen you looking at her. All right, I'm sorry. But it galls me to see Fairfax and Susan walking around as bold as brass.
Me too.
And don't forget, Susan's a security officer for this place, and she's working against it. We do know that much, even if we can't show how it's done.
Her boss might listen.
Rex Andrews? You're joking. Or are you?
He might, but it'd be risky trying him.
You can say that again.
All right, so you're fed up. What do you suggest?
That you and I tackle them, Fairfax and Susan, face to face.
I'll have to think about that.
We could at least confront Fairfax with that cockerel. It's one of his. No one else has Rhode Island Reds around here, Margaret tells me.
May I disturb you?
Oh, yes. Open house in here today. Come in, Mr. Andrews.
Thank you.
Business or social?
Business, but unofficial, let's call it.
Mm-hmm. Which of us?
Both of you. You were at the Williams Cottage till after 3 this morning. You and Miss Govan and Dr. Ewing.
So? They're friends of ours?
I know, and that's why it's off the record. But you've been down there rather a lot, and during working hours.
Oh, now, look here. I'm answerable to Philip Jessop for what hours I work and when. And Sergeant Blake's answerable to his officer. Has either of them complained to you?
No, of course not.
No.
But it does rather draw attention to the fact that you're seeing a lot of them. You may not know it, but these two have some rather odd associations.
Such as?
Various occult bodies.
Well, what's wrong with that, if they like them?
Nothing at all, except that some of those bodies tend to attract people of subversive tendencies.
There's nothing subversive about those two. I bet a year's pay on it.
Oh, Andrews, it's difficult to be angry with you. You're such a bloody clown. Solemnly cross-questioning us because we've been up boozing with friends who have friends who may have friends whose politics you don't agree with. Oh, give over, for God's sake.
I don't take kindly to being called a bloody clown, Mr. Brent.
Oh, get lost. And while you're at it, look in your own backyard.
Peter,
what do you mean, my own backyard?
I mean your assistant, Susan Platt. She's up to her green eyes in black magic.
Peter.
Do you want to know where Susan Platt was last night at the time of the full moon?
Where was she, Mr. Brent?
On top of Maiden Tor, lying stark naked on the Neolithic altar stone while somebody slaughtered a cockerel over her. That's where she was. And if those aren't odd associations, I'd like to know what the hell are.
And what were you doing?
Spying. Watching them through binoculars from the top of Little Tor, trying to find out what the devil goes on up there and why our Bayadar can't pick it up. And I was giving a running commentary to George here on the walkie-talkie.
Is that right, Sergeant?
Yes.
What evidence have you got?
If you go to the fridge in the mess kitchen, you'll find a polythene bag with my name on it. Inside, there's a Rhode Island red cockerel with its throat gashed open. They left it behind when they scarpered.
Now, that may be evidence of the ritual. It hardly proves that it was Susan Platt you saw.
Look, it was a full moon. She was facing me with the moon shining on her. They're damn good binoculars. Those ones hanging behind the door.
Did you recognize anyone else?
All the others were robed and hooded, except the high priest or whatever he was, the man who killed the cockerel. He wore a stag mask.
Who else knows about this?
The ones who were at the Williams' last night. You listed them yourself.
And the Williams?
Yes. We asked their professional advice on the subject. They're experts on folklore.
Leave this with me. And don't go talking to any more people about it.
Don't worry, I won't.
And don't assume everybody's a clown just because you don't happen to like him.
You're a damn fool, Peter.
I know. But at least I've stirred things up at last.
What good it will do, I don't know. While you were blowing your top, why did you keep quiet about Reuben Fairfax?
Well, I wanted to save him for myself.
You're still a damn fool. But promise me one thing.
What's that?
Don't tackle him without me there.
All right. I did ask you in the first place, remember?
Vodka and tonic, I think.
And yourself, sir?
Straight scotch, please.
Straight scotch, right. Grand day it's been.
All I've seen of it's been through a window.
Haven't seen all that much of it myself, to be honest. Just crossing the yard and that. I used to try to get a bit of a walk in the afternoons, but I must be getting old. I put my feet up mostly now. That'll be 42, sir. Oh, thank you.
Hey, Joe!
Oh, come in. Excuse me.
Let's take them over there.
Oh, right.
I feel a bit like Joe myself. Housebound.
Oh, you made it down here.
Tragically closing time and dark.
Never mind. Cheers.
Cheers. I was going to ask you out for a drink last night. Mm-hmm. Where did you get to?
I went for a walk. Saw the moon come up.
You want to watch it, you know, wandering around these lanes at night all by yourself.
Oh, hell, Rex, this isn't Soho. I can look after myself.
I'm sure. Don't you ever miss your old work?
Psychical research?
Mm-hmm.
Not really. I'd worked my particular vein of it dry. Every case I looked into reminded me of some other one. So I felt it was time to stop before I lost my judgment.
Is there anything in it?
In what?
This psychical thing. You examined it objectively.
Only one particular aspect of it.
Well, the same, you must have formed some opinion. Is there something in it?
Well, if by it you mean phenomena outside those which are explicable by, or at least not incompatible with, known laws, yes, there are such phenomena.
And telepathy and clairvoyance and magic?
I've seen evidence that satisfied me of all three.
I don't know. I think if I got that far and was as qualified as you were, I'd have found it very dull to give it all up for a routine job like ours.
I find security work quite challenging. I do keep reading in my old field, you know.
Mm.
My bookshelf would astonish you.
I like to browse through it sometime.
Why not? La, 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 la. Oh, hello, George. Come in.
Sorry if I'm disturbing you.
No, you're not at all. Oh. Donald's been up to town for the day. He won't be back till late on, so I'm glad of a bit of company.
Well, I just thought I'd better warn you. Peter lost his temper with Andrews and told him all about Susan Platt.
Oh.
Said we'd been trying to find out what went on up on Maiden Tor, and that you and Donald knew about it too, because we'd asked your advice as folklore experts.
Oh, well, I'm glad he didn't lose his temper so much he couldn't phrase things diplomatically. How did Andrews react?
Like you'd expect a security man to react. Didn't commit himself, but asked a lot of questions. Told us to leave it with him.
Why did Peter lose his temper?
Andrews had been warning us off you. Said you had some odd associations.
Anyone who has no odd associations at all must be a dead bore. Oh, well, there's probably no harm done. I'm all for giving the enemy more problems to deal with. Susan will have to steer clear of Maiden Tor now, at least.
Oh, that won't stop her working, raising power, doing damage. You're our only hope there.
You believe in us, don't you?
I respect Donald's knowledge. I think Margaret has promised, given time. But I believe in you.
Careful, George.
I know.
Witches have a way of being, well, emotional dynamite. They're alive on too many levels for comfort.
I've never looked for comfort.
As long as you do know.
Would you initiate me?
All too willingly. And that's why I'm being careful. Leave it for a few days, George. I need to think about it. Change the subject, eh? Have a drink for a start.
Oh, yeah.
We've got scotch or light ale?
Oh, scotch, thanks. But a small one. By the way, Peter didn't tell Andrews about Reuben Fairfax. He wants to tackle him himself.
He is sticking his neck out. Oh, well, if he insists, I hope you go with him, that's all.
Good morning, Mr. Fairfax.
Oh, good morning. Mr. Brent, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
And Sergeant...
Blake, sir. Could we have a word with you?
Certainly, come in. In here. You're lucky to find me, and I'm usually doing my rounds of the farm this time of the morning.
Yes, we're usually working, too.
Yeah, what can I do for you, then?
Mr. Fairfax, do you recognize this?
Good God.
You're the only farmer around here who keeps Rhode Island Reds, I think?
Oh, yes, it's one of mine, all right. Some bloody fox, I suppose. I shoot the whole lot, vixens and all. That's why Arthur County isn't speaking to me.
That wasn't done by teeth, Mr. Fairfax. It was done with a knife.
I do believe you're right. But what the hell for? I mean, it couldn't be a poacher or a gypsy. You don't slash up a bird like that for the pot.
No, you don't.
But where'd you find it?
On top of Maiden Tor, on Midsummer Night. On the altar stone in the middle of the 12 maidens. It was still warm.
Well, I'll be damned. I'd heard tales of secret rituals up there in my grandfather's time. Oh, I had no idea they were still going on.
Mr. Fairfax, I don't believe you.
And I don't follow you.
I saw that bird slaughtered. I was watching from Little Tor through binoculars. I saw a woman lay herself down on the altar stone while about a dozen people in cloaks circled round her. Widdershins, by the way, and I do know what that means. I saw a man in a stag's mask stand over her and cut that bird's throat. He took his mask off before he did it. That man was you, Mr. Fairfax.
My poor friend. If you honestly believe that, then... All I can say is you need a new pair of binoculars.
The binoculars were perfectly okay. I recognised the woman, too, and I told her boss about it.
Oh, really? And who is her boss?
You know that as well as I do.
Look, I've had enough of this. You're damn lucky there aren't any witnesses except the sergeant, who's presumably on your side, or I'd slap a slander written on you. As it is, I'll be charitable and just assume you made a genuine mistake. And now you'd better leave before you make a worse fool of yourself.
We both know I haven't made a mistake. Oh, and for your information, we have those wax images.
Wax images? What the hell are you talking about?
Two of them. Buried by the altar stone, one like our late boss, Tom McKinnon, with a needle through its heart. The other like our present boss, Professor Jessop, with its head bound with wire, and he's been suffering from migraine.
Well, obviously you believe in these things.
Well, they work, you mean? Actually, I don't, personally. Not unless the victim knows about them so that you can work on his fear. And Tom McKinnon may have known.
Now, you be careful, Mr. Brent. You've only accused me of practicing messy rituals so far. Now you're virtually accusing me of murder.
Yes, I am. Of intent to murder, at least. And as you pointed out, there are no witnesses to this conversation.
Get out of my house.
Not until we've settled this thing.
My God, I'll see you out in front of a 12-bore.
You wouldn't reach it, Mr. Fairfax.
And by what right does the army threaten me with firearms in my own house?
No legal right at all. But you and your lot have been trying to sabotage the Bayadar project, and that gives us a moral right.
Oh, hell, it's farcical, this is. I mean, it's so absurd, I don't even know why I'm losing my temper. You're honestly accusing me of using black magic to sabotage Bayadar?
Interesting, isn't it, George? He muffed his lines. He should have said, what the hell's Bayadar?
He should indeed, because nobody outside knows the word. Officially, for the public, it's just the Bewley Towers Research Establishment.
Yeah, someone's been talking, George. I think Susan's boss would be interested in that, too.
Look, you said Bayadar, so I repeated it, that's all.
Very quick recovery, George. This man shows promise.
Get out! Go on, get out now! If you're trying to make me lose control, I'm afraid you won't get away with it. Ah, thank God somebody's coming to see me. That should break up this farce. Unless you do want witnesses. Excuse me.
Morning, Reuben. I've only got a few minutes.
Good morning, Miss Platt. I was just going out.
Hello, Susan. Washed all the blood off yet?
Peter. And Sergeant Blake, what are you doing here?
Delivering poultry. You haven't answered my question.
Blood? What blood?
Miss Platt, these two have some ridiculous story.
The blood of this.
What on earth is this all about?
I'm only just beginning to get the hang of it myself. These two...
Shut up, Fairfax. Susan, there's a lovely view of Maiden Tor from Little Tor by moonlight with binoculars.
I think we'd better all go inside.
A very good idea.
Before you say anything more, Peter, I don't know what story you've got hold of, but I can guess.
I'll say this, Susan, you haven't a bad figure. Moonlight becomes it, but I can't really recommend Cockerell's blood as body makeup.
Thank you. Reuben, you must find all this very puzzling.
Yes, I do.
And I don't know how they've got you mixed up in it. I was involved in something the other night which they appear to have seen. I shouldn't say this, but I've got to. It was a security operation. I was a spy, if you like.
Oh, lovely. Oh, do go on.
But there was a man taking part, and they appear to have mistaken him for you. Understandable, perhaps. You're about the same build. But that man wore a mask. So the best thing you can do is accept these gentlemen's apologies and forget the whole thing. I'd be grateful if you would. And I'm sorry you've been dragged in by mistake.
Not a bad try, Susan. Not bad at all. Cut your losses and protect the others. Unfortunately, you must have shut your eyes at the critical moment. Your friend Reuben took his mask off. I expect he wanted to see properly. After all, it was the climax of the party.
You nosy little bastard.
Thank you for that admission. You know, it'd be fun to play along with Susan's story. See if we could make you believe she's a spy, but I don't think we could make it stand up. Would you care to repeat your tale in front of Rex Andrews, Susan? I've already told him my side.
You fool. You stupid, amateurish fool. Do you know what you're taking on, what you're blundering into? We can destroy you the way we destroyed Tom McKinnon.
That was part 5 of The 12 Maidens by Stuart Farrar. Listen to the next episode of David H. Godfrey's production of The 12 Maidens, The Final Round.
In part 5 of The 12 Maidens, a serial for radio in 6 parts by Stuart Farrar, Peter Brent was played by Martin Jarvis, Bridget Williams by Eva Stewart, Margaret Govan by